This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, we just want to say a big happy birthday to our little cousin, Stewie. Now, I say little, but he is 6'5" and turning 23, so it's just making ourselves really sound old.
Stewie's birthday really got me thinking about whether Facebook posts are redundant now on your birthday, because I think when we were in our early 20s, Facebook posts on your birthday was really a life and death thing. It was really a status of whether you were popular or not, the amount of birthday posts you received.
I used to get so worried on my birthday that I wouldn't receive any comments. Like, it's actually sad that it was a legitimate fear, because I feel like, as you said, it reflected how popular you were. I think these days, though, people just tag you in your story and you have to like reshare it. And if you've got lots of posts that are reshared, I suppose you look popular as well.
Yeah, but as you say, Kate, it used to be a sign of how popular you are. But now I feel like it's done a total 360, and I felt like an old loser putting together a birthday grid for my cousin's birthday, because I had to go and find one of those apps. I think it's called Photo Collage, and it literally was like a blast from the past, because I feel like in 2012, those photo grids were so popular.
Sophie, there is an Instagram-approved app called Layout that does that for you. That's a modern app. It's not like PicJointer or whatever.
Well, this is probably because I am on the shittest phone at the moment as I'm waiting for the new iPhone to come out. We're actually having to record this remotely. So I'm on the phone to you at the moment, Kate, and I've got 10% left on this phone. So it's going to bloody clock out at any moment.
You are always living on the edge with your phone charger, because I constantly see you posting screenshots in the Outspoken Facebook community. And everyone's like, I'm on edge at how low your battery is on your phone.
It's because I wake up and by 10:30, my phone is on about 10%. That's how quickly this phone drains a battery.
Well, on the topic of birthdays, it's actually Reese's Nan's birthday on the weekend, and I have been tasked along with Pip to create a birthday cake for her. And I would love some people's opinions on this, because Reese's Nan used to be a dressmaker. So I was thinking maybe a Dolly Varden cake, you know, with the dress and a little doll on it. But then I'm like, is that a bit childish for a 90th birthday?
I think that's a really good idea. At least it kind of fits within the theme. It's not like you're going and making the pool cake or something like that.
Yeah, I was tempted to make the pool cake after seeing, I think it was Pippa Wanganeen did an amazing job of that with little gingerbread men.
I think we've got to start another thread in our Facebook community where people can share their different cake ideas. We had this thread a number of months ago, and I love seeing how creative people got for their partners or friends.
Yeah, I also love the fails as well. That was a lot of fun. It might make me feel better.
Dude, she was so cute. She was so tired. Oh, it tastes so good. You didn't see that? I didn't notice them until like the end. I'll go get these meds, and then I'll film some more when I get back.
Instagram power couple Talia Skaynes and Mitch Third have called it quits. The Gold Coast influencers confirmed the end of their 9-year relationship on Instagram on Monday. So, if what happened?
Well, on Monday night, Talia released a statement on her Instagram confirming the breakup. She wrote, "This is not a story I ever wanted to post, but I feel I need to let you know as I've been getting so many messages the past couple of weeks and months." She then went on to say, "It's with a heavy heart that I tell you that Mitch and I broke up a few weeks ago. For now, I'll just be saying that. We ask that you respect both of us during this time." Talia then finished off by saying that she's sorry she's been so distant lately, but there have been a lot of massive life changes going on, and she'll be back to posting normally on her Instagram and YouTube accounts soon. Now, Mitch followed up Talia's post by sharing a photo of the couple together before a school formal and wrote, "9 years of loving you. I will always love you and be there for you." And then ended the message with a little white love heart. Now, I feel like Talia and Mitch were forced to comment because there's been so much speculation going on about their relationship.
Yeah, I feel like it's been coming for a while, because I follow both of them and I have noticed that they have not been appearing in each other's Instagram stories. And the last time I saw them together on their YouTube channel was back on July 21st, when they announced the launch of their winter collection for their loungewear brand Third Fix. Now, Talia has also been spending a lot of time with her female friends, and it seems like she isn't staying at the apartment she shares with Mitch. It seems like I'm not the only one to have picked up on these signs, because earlier on Monday, a follower wrote on Talia's photo, "How come you're not staying with Mitch anymore?" And the follower actually tagged Mitch in a subsequent comment. Now, Mitch has gone on and he's responded, and he wrote, "Ask Harley Shields," and he tagged Harley's account. Now, the comment has been since deleted. However, I had a sneaky look at who this Harley Shields is, and his name is actually Harley Smith Shields, and he is a professional rugby player who plays for the Canberra Raiders in the NRL. Now, I know absolutely nothing about NRL or rugby, but I do know that Mitch, Talia's ex, actually plays rugby, I think at a lower level. So I feel like that's going to sting a little bit.
Yeah, a bit of a burn. Now, while Harley is based in Canberra, since mid-July, the Raiders have actually been based in a hub on the Gold Coast. So for those who don't know, Talia Skanes also lives on the Gold Coast. And it's quite confusing what exactly the hub rules in Queensland are. So I did a little bit of research into it, trying to piece it all together. So originally, players had to complete a 14-day quarantine period before being put into level 3 restrictions. So their families were actually flown over and quarantined in the hotel, and this is what caused a lot of controversy, as members of the family were photographed passing lollies over the balcony.
Yeah, this was wild, because in South Australia, we very rarely hear about NRL, and I feel like we only hear about the NRL when there is a scandal, but I had not heard about this. So this caused the government to tighten restrictions in the hotel, and the players' families were made to duct tape their balconies shut, and they were not allowed on them. There was also another subsequent scandal where a player was forced into quarantine after being a close contact of someone, and they ended up going out on their balcony and they got in big trouble. And there have just been so many scandals around the NRL being in Queensland. So there was a State of Origin camp where 13 Dragon players were involved in biosecurity breaches. And there have also been two cases where players were heavily fined for bringing women into the team hotel in Queensland. So there's a lot been going on.
Well, as of August, NRL players were allowed to leave the hub for approved activities like shopping for food and exercise. And they were also allowed to dine at cafes and restaurants with household members and other players from within the same hub. And nightclubs and pubs were off the list, so they were not allowed to attend those. So it is quite confusing how Talia and Harley have allegedly developed this relationship.
Well, the thing is, it's unclear whether Harley Smith Shields has broken any hub rules. We're not implying that he has at all. I think we're trying to work out how this relationship between he and Talia has started. And it could
be a relationship.
Yes, this alleged relationship. I mean, it could all be over DMs. Some little investigators in our Facebook community noticed that both Talia and Harley posted Insta stories from a yacht or a boat on the same day. And this is, of course, because Harley's team, the Canberra Raiders, they actually finished up their season last week. So this is why he's out and about, because he's no longer part of this hub. But he's obviously stayed on in the Gold Coast to hang out with Talia. And maybe that's what Mitch's comment is about, because she is now spending all of her time with him.
Now, all these hub rules and COVID rules aside, what does everyone think about Mitch tagging Harley in this post and somewhat calling out Talia?
Oh, I really felt for Mitch, because I think that he has always had Talia's best interests at heart. He's always seemed like a very supportive boyfriend, and I feel like he is hurting. And to me, it appears that he is still in their rental and that Talia's moved out, which often indicates that the person who moves out of the apartment has done something wrong.
Really? I don't think she's moved out. I've seen heaps of Instagram stories of her still there.
No, she's not there.
She's with Steph, her friend. I actually think it's interesting, because this isn't the first time they've broken up. So they have been together for 9 years, but they did have a breakup, I think, around 2 years ago. But I always did get the feeling that Mitch was more besotted with Talia than she was with him. I think we spoke a couple of months ago about that YouTube video. It was a Q&A that they did together, and he was like eating all this food and like picking at his toenail and throwing it on her things. And maybe she got the ick, because I got the ick watching that.
Well, Mitch pointed out the fact that they have been together since high school. So over 9 years, people do change and evolve over time. So I think it's probably more of a fact of them maybe growing apart. I'm really sad, because as you say, I think Mitch was really besotted by Talia, and I think that they had a really fun and engaging relationship online. It was fun to watch their YouTube.
I'm just wondering what it means for all of the businesses they have together, because they've got a villa together, which is Villa Tami in Bali. They've also got their businesses Third Fix together. what does this mean? Like, are they going to keep working together?
Or? I really hope. Well, I mean, Talia did study law, so I'm sure that she would be quite savvy when it comes to contracts. I really do hope that they had a really good contract in place. It will be really interesting to see what happens, because particularly with their clothing line, Third Fix, it is men and women's clothes, and they appear in a lot of the marketing collateral, which is becoming increasingly awkward when you see it being published on their Instagram, business Instagram.
Well, Mitch actually owns Third Fix, the drink bottle company, and then I think the loungewear range is sort of like a separate entity that Talia does own. It did get me thinking when you spoke about Villatami. I wonder if the lack of travel has had anything to do with their relationship, because Talia travels a lot with her influencer job. She used to be bloody everywhere, and it seems like they really enjoyed traveling to Bali together. I wonder if the monotony of a normal relationship, you know, working 9 to 5, staying at home, had something to do with this.
Well, COVID is always going to put pressure on relationships, and also working with different businesses. I'm just interested to see whether the breakup does affect Mitch's drink bottle business, because I would assume that a lot of the business would come in from Talia and her friends promoting it. So it's going to be interesting to see which of their friends, you know, whose side they're on, whether they're Team Mitch or Team Talia, or whether they do actually get on with things and have a very friendly working relationship with each other.
The fact that Mitch is already calling out Talia's potential new love interest does indicate that perhaps things might be a little bit rocky in terms of their business. I do wonder, though, from Mitch's recent post, whether he has left things open to them getting back together if things do fall short with this new guy.
Well, it was weird timing, because he called the guy out on Monday during the day and then put up a really sappy post, because to me, it seemed like Mitch was saying that there was a bit of an overlap with their relationship, and then all of a sudden it's like he's sort of begging for her back online. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
That post was clearly put up as a bit of an apology for writing that comment, which then put the focus onto their relationship. But that's why he put that up.
I don't think you say openly, "I love you," if you're not trying to get someone back.
No, of course he wants her back.
He wants her back. Now, we were pretty cocky with ourselves, and we pre-recorded this episode on Wednesday. And since then, Talia has released a statement, and it seems like things aren't looking too good for Mitch, because I don't think she's going to get back with him.
Yeah, I don't think things are looking too good for them. So she uploaded a post and said, "Thank you to everyone for your messages the past 2 days. I've been so overwhelmed by the amount of love and support, and I'm sorry I cannot get back to you all, but just know I see them." Sorry, before I get into it, I feel like that's the most kind of dickheady thing to be like, "I'm just so overwhelmed by the amount of messages.
I'm such a celebrity, but I do see them." So what
else
did she say?
"I just can't get back to all of them though." She then continued by saying, "The past few months have been super, super tough for me, and there's so much I don't talk about that you guys have absolutely no idea about. I am a private person, and I will remain the bigger person, and I'm okay with that." Now, there's two things that I want to pinpoint here is, one, I always find it so humorous when people who choose to share their lives on YouTube or Instagram say that they're incredibly private people.
Yeah, it's like your whole career is based off you sharing your life and monetizing it. So it's like, well, give us the dirt. We want to know.
I know. And it's also an opportunity when something like this happens in your life. I know it's disgusting to see it as an opportunity, but it is an opportunity to connect with people. And also that's when people really grow as influencers. The second point I do want to look at here is also the fact that she says, "I will remain the bigger person." So here she is really throwing some shade at Mitch by saying, "Hey, he's spoken out of turn here. I'm the bigger person in this." It also indicates maybe there's some stuff that she's holding back that he's also done.
Well, she did go on to say that she's excited for the future and she's close to announcing something new she's been working on. But for now, she's off on a holiday to Hamilton Island and going to be taking some time off social media. Now, I always think when influencers say that they're taking time off social media, it's a little bit sus. I do wonder if she's on a romantic getaway with her new boyfriend, Harley.
Well, I did see an Instagram post by him today where he was in a hotel room and he was showing the view from his balcony. So it's safe to say that that's probably what is happening.
Yeah. Well, Talia confirmed that she is moving out and she has been living at her friend's house for the last 3 weeks, and she'll be moving into an apartment on Monday with one of her best friends.
Come on, chica. You're a grown woman.
So are you. And you need to snap the fuck out of it. I've had enough of your indulged bull fucking shit.
Former Bachelorette Georgia Love is reportedly being investigated by her employer, The Seven Network, after a problematic post was shared online. Sophie, can you tell us what's happened?
Well, on Monday morning, Georgia Love shared an Instagram story showing a cat inside an Asian restaurant with the caption, "Shop attendant or lunch," followed by a laughing emoji. Now, the post received immediate backlash, with many calling the post racist. So Instagram page Aussie Influencer Opinion, which holds influencers to account, reshared the video and wrote, "As well as casual racism being totally not okay, did Georgia not take into consideration about how this would make her audience with an Asian background feel?" Now, Georgia was quick to issue an apology after the post. She wrote, "Earlier, I posted a video of a cat in a restaurant window. I meant for this to be a joke about an animal being in a restaurant at lunch service time. I meant absolutely no insinuation about the type of animal nor the type of restaurant, but I do see that my post did not come across like that and was offensive. I sincerely apologize for the oversight and offense I have caused. Thank you to those who called me out. This is what we need to make sure we are all accountable and do better. Again, I apologize from the bottom of my heart for the offense caused." Georgia also messaged Aussie Influencer Opinions and thanked the page for calling out her story. She said, "I hand on my heart meant for the joke to be about animals being in a restaurant at lunch service time, not that it was a cat specifically, nor that it was an Asian restaurant." She then finished the message saying she sincerely apologizes for the oversight and any offense that she caused. Now, Aussie Influencer Opinions replied saying that they were perplexed as to how she missed the mark, given that it's a widely known racial joke. The page continued by saying, "The discussions around Asian hate and the racial phrases are very real and relevant right now." Aussie Influencer Opinions also questioned Georgia's claims about it being a lunchtime service joke, pointing out that the post was made at 10:30 a.m. So Georgia viewed this message but did not reply. Now, what did you guys make of the post Georgia shared?
I actually could not believe that she would be so foolish to post something like this in 2021, especially. What on earth was she thinking?
Yeah, I agree with you, Amy. I was shocked when I saw this appear on her story. I thought there must be some kind of mistake. And I do think Georgia's excuse that it was about a lunchtime service was really, as I said, just an excuse. It was quite clear the racist joke she was trying to make with
the cat. Didn't even make her response literally made no sense. And I was just shocked because Georgia seems pretty... She does come across as quite woke on her Instagram, and she seems to be up to date with these kinds of issues.
Well, she's a very intelligent
woman.
She
is extremely intelligent, and I feel like she has had a great image online up until now, and it just perplexes me. You know, was it a complete brain fade to post something like that?
Yeah,
why
but
did
the
she
thing
do
is,
it?
Yeah, but even if it was a brain fade, she had time to then think about the apology, and instead of admitting fault, she then kind of came up with an excuse that didn't make any sense. I mean, I was pretty shocked by her apology. I think there were elements that were really good, and then there were elements that just made no sense, and it seemed quite apparent that it was very rushed.
Well, Aussie Influencer Opinions was also not satisfied by Georgia's message back and did a bit of digging of their own. So they located a post that Georgia shared on Instagram in 2013. So the post showed an animal hospital next to a restaurant called China Chef. And underneath the photo, there is a cartoon image of a dog with eyes narrowed saying, "That's suspicious." So Aussie Influencer Opinion shared this on their page and said she totally knew what she was doing, not letting this one go. So at this time of recording, the post has received over 5,000 likes and 350 comments. And according to Influencer Opinions, after they shared this post, Georgia subsequently deleted it from her feed.
I can't believe it was still on her feed from 2013. Unfortunately, that type of joke probably was accepted in 2013, as horrible as that is, that there was a lot of casual racism going on. However, would you not do a clear up of your Instagram, particularly if you're going on a show like The Bachelorette, when you're going to be skyrocketing into fame?
I don't understand why The Bachelor producers didn't flag this with her when she was about to appear on the show.
The thing is, The Bachelor producers in 2015 probably didn't think it was such a big deal, because casual racism like this was quite common, unfortunately. So it was probably just not even, they didn't even think about it at all. I mean, think of the Daily Mail and all of the other publications whose job it is to go and look for dirt on people when they become The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. This was never flagged then. And I think a lot of people have had the discussion of cancel culture and people's old tweets or old Instagram posts being dragged out and people made to apologize for things that they previously wrote that they might not mean now. If
Aussie influencers had dragged this post out from 2013, I would have thought, oh, well, Georgia might have, you know, grown by then and educated herself. But the fact that she has then shared the same sentiments in 2021 is the issue here.
Well, yeah, that's why it's relevant. The post is relevant because Georgia is clearly trying to claim that she didn't understand this joke or there was no connotation involved in the Instagram story that she put up. But clearly she has been caught out in this instance.
Yeah, it's very awkward, and I'm just shocked because she is a journalist, and I feel like journalists are always digging up crap on people and trying to find these sorts of things. So it does shock me that she did have it still on her page.
I think everyone listening can probably reflect on posts that they shared 10 years ago and be quite embarrassed or maybe ashamed of some of the stuff that they put up, because obviously over a decade you do evolve and change. And what is unfortunate in this case, though, is that Georgia shared those sort of views in 2021, and there has been so much education out there about hate towards Asian communities. Yeah. It has been an issue that has been widely discussed, and it is really disappointing for her to share this sort of casual racism. Yeah.
And I think the thing is that people were really disappointed with her apology, especially because influencer apologies have been under the microscope recently. If you think back to Nadia Bartel's apology and also Chloe Zepp's apology. And the thing is that, as you said, the start of Georgia's statement was really good. She said that people should be held to account, but completely denying that you meant any racist connotation from it was just completely ignorant. And it also made people talk about it more online. If she just shut it down and said, I'm really sorry, I'm going to educate myself, I didn't, you know, I can see how this came across and I'm really disgusted in myself or whatever, people would have probably just moved on.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been that gotcha moment for Aussie influencers because people wouldn't have dug any further. And I think that was one good thing that Nadia Bartel did. Her apology was very strong, whereas Georgia's was not. And when she comes from a journalism background, it just baffles me.
Well, I wonder if Seven had anything to do with helping her issue her apology. I don't think they did.
You're hardly going to go to your employer and be like, I've just put this casually racist thing on my Instagram story. Can you help me pen a response? Like, I think it was done very quickly and in haste.
Well, so what has the response been from the Asian community?
Well, Taryn Chowler, who works as a multicultural commissioner in Melbourne, explained that this kind of casual racism is harmful, particularly during a time when there has been growing hostility towards the Asian community. He said that racism can be about impact and not just about the intent. And he said, I think we need to stop making excuses around casual forms of racism and start looking at solutions. He also said that this is a learning opportunity for people to talk about what casual racism looks like and what it is. And he said that he hopes it's an opportunity for Georgia and other people in positions of power and influence to start having conversations about race and ethnicity and the effects that it can have on people's mental health.
So soon after the incident, Abby Chatfield weighed in and she wrote, "Stop Asian Hate." She then shared multiple posts about how to tackle racism. So while Abby didn't actually address Georgia by name, she reshared Tarung's guide on how influencers should apologize. So can you run us through some of the points that he made?
Well, his points were really good, and I think that more influencers and also other public figures who do have to make an apology should listen to them. His first point was that you should spell out what you did wrong. Second, he said you should simply admit that you were wrong. He then said that you should acknowledge the hurt that you've caused. The fourth point was don't make it about you. His last point was to actually say sorry and promise to do better. And I think that he's just put this so well.
I think that's actually spot on. And if you look at the influencer apologies that have missed the mark, they have not followed any of these rules, have they?
Yeah, they definitely haven't. I mean, it's good that this is out there now. So if there are any influencers that need to apologize, they can refer to this. Well, what do you guys think this means for Georgia Love's journalism career moving forward?
I do think that this incident is going to affect Georgia's journalism career. But before we go into that, Amy, can you give us a little bit of a background about Georgia's career?
Well, Georgia's only been at the Seven Network since February of this year, and she shared this news to her followers on Instagram and wrote hashtag new beginnings. So earlier in the year, Georgia had been working as a reporter at what she described as her dream job at 10 News, and she landed this role in 2017 after starring as The Bachelorette. So Georgia was working as a freelance reporter at Network 10, and it's believed the station got rid of some of their freelance reporters due to the COVID-19 cutbacks, which saw 25 jobs get slashed, and of course Georgia's was one of those. And in January, the Daily Telegraph reported that Georgia had exited the role under mysterious circumstances. A source at the time said nothing was really said about it. One day a memo just went around saying that Georgia no longer works here. And before appearing on The Bachelorette, Georgia also worked as a journalist, and this was in Tasmania at Wynn News. So it was a huge step up for her to score that job at Channel 10.
And I think it's important to have a look at her background in journalism because it shows that despite her star power, she is replaceable. Even despite the fact that she was The Bachelor, this huge star with 250,000 followers on Instagram, Channel 10 still decided to cut her when it came to the crunch. So I am really interested to see how Channel 7 is going to respond to these allegations.
But let's be honest. I mean, in the media world, it's Channel 9 and Channel 7 who are the highest rating networks, and they're the ones who actually have money to hold on to stars like this. Whereas Georgia's position at 10, it might have been an issue with how much they were paying her to be a freelancer at the network. So I do think that some of the bigger networks tend to protect their stars a little bit more than the ones that aren't as well off.
Well, back to what sort of effect this is going to have on Georgia's journalism career. It has come months after Seven CEO James Warburton took a stand against racism. So he told staff racism is unacceptable and will not be tolerated after a separate incident involving a staff member who published a racist post on Seven social media pages. And this was after the Euro 2020 final. So the post accompanied a story on the site about racial abuse directed at three English players who missed their penalty shots in a penalty shootout that went Italy's way. The story was initially published with the headline, "Three Black Players Failed in the Penalty Shootout, which England lost 3-2 against Italy." It was later deleted and a public apology was issued.
Well, the scandals for Seven don't end there because last year, former Sunrise co-host Samantha Armitage and commentator Prue McSween were sued for racial vilification over a 2018 discussion on the Breakfast TV show about Aboriginal adoption that featured an all-white panel. So Prue said at the time, "We need to do the stolen generation again, perhaps." Armitage began the segment by saying, "Post-stolen generation, there's been a huge move to leave Aboriginal children where they are, even if they're being neglected in their own families." Now, following these statements, activists gathered outside Sunrise's Martin Place studios demanding an apology. So media watchdog the Australian Communication and Media Authority later ruled that Seven had breached the Commercial Television Industry Code of Practice 2015 because the segment provoked serious contempt on the basis of race.
Well, Seven have actually come out and made comment and said that they are investigating the comments made by Georgia Love. Personally, I don't think Georgia deserves to lose her job for these comments. What do you guys think?
Just to set some context, because Amy, you can't say too much about it, but Amy and I both lost our jobs at Channel 7. And from experience, you can lose your job or be punished if you bring the station into disrepute, and that is what Georgia has done in this situation. Yeah, but obviously, legally, there has to be protocols put in place in regards to warnings, you know, HR investigations taking place.
But what you're saying is that in most contracts, there is a clause that says if you bring your employer into disrepute, it is a sackable offence. And I suppose the discussion is, has Georgia breached this by her Insta story? The issue is that Georgia has come out, she has apologised, and I think they need to come out with a statement to say that they condemn Georgia Love's comments, that they are educating Georgia as well as other staff members on cultural issues and on racism in Australia.
I don't know, if as someone who has lost their job over pretty ridiculous circumstances, to me, this hits a higher level because of Georgia's profile.
The networks don't usually punish reporters if they are bringing in ratings for them. And there are a lot of different...
Well, there's rules for some, rules for others.
There are rules for some and rules for others.
I personally think that she will keep her job because I think they're just going to sweep it under the carpet and just sort of pretend it didn't happen. And I think that's usually media companies will put out a statement saying they're doing an investigation, but it's very rare for them to actually follow up and report back on that investigation. It's certainly a PR tactic.
What's the investigation?
I think also what their next tactic may be is that she probably will go on a certain break or a holiday, wait for, you know, the immediate interest to die down, and then she'll be back in that position.
And can I just say, we're not saying that she should lose her job at all. Like, well, I'm not saying that she needs to lose her job this. I'm just saying, can we actually see some comment from the big network?
Well, I suppose they put out saying that they're investigating it, so that would be their commentary.
Yeah, but they haven't said that they condemn the comments. I think that this is why this story is so popular though, Amy, because so many people love Georgia. She is such a likable, funny, clever, smart woman who really captured everyone's hearts on The Bachelorette. And I think that that's why this story is really hitting really hard for people at the moment.
Because I think people are disappointed.
Yeah, but that's why it's so important. I think that's why it's so important though, because it can be likable people that then push this casual racism that is very damaging to other people. And I think that's why it has caused so much controversy and had so much attention, because no one expected it from Georgia Love. But I feel like that's really the message behind it, that there are people that are good people that are pushing casual racism that is really affecting other people.
La mattina mi sono alzato, bella ciao, bella ciao.
Before we wrap things up, I've been told not to talk about it, but I really want to talk about Money Heist, so I am going to recommend everyone go and watch part 5 of Money Heist. It is addictive. I was meant to watch it slowly and enjoy it, so Reese was like, let's watch one episode a week. Do you think that happened? No, we finished it within 3 days.
It was hilarious because you told me, oh yeah, we're only going to be watching the one episode a week. And Brandon and I laughed because we got through it, I think, in 2 nights. And it's one of those shows that you've just got to keep watching because they leave you in such suspense.
Oh, it is absolutely captivating television. I cannot wait because they're releasing the final 5 episodes of part 5 in December. And I'm already counting down the days. So I highly recommend you watch it. It was not my, I really am surprised that I even like it. Like when you talk about what it's actually about, you know, these misfits got taking, doing a heist on a bank, you're like, that is boring, but it's literally the best TV show ever.
Can I just say, it was such a kick in the dick moment when they're like, oh, we're releasing the final series. And then you find out that they've only released 5 episodes and they're leaving the rest of the 5 until December. Like that was very cruel.
Oh, I know. I'm still angry at them, but I love them at the same time.
I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, could you please make sure that you recommend our podcast to a friend? And also, can you make sure you are subscribing and leaving us a 5-star rating?
Yeah, we're not asking for too much there, just those 3 simple things. And if you want to join in on the conversation, head over to our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community, and make sure you tag us in where you're listening from.